Hang about. It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Laura. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good too. And I have an answer to your vegetarian question. I've been a vegetarian for 40 years.
14 years?
No, 40.
40? Oh my gosh, really?
I was vegetarian before the term was probably even invented.
Wow, that's amazing. Is there any reason as to why you are vegetarian?
Yeah, no, look, I was raised in provincial New Zealand, LMP, the drink.
Mm.
And it was squarely meat and three veg territory down the line there in Pairoa. And I just decided I didn't like the taste or the texture. It wasn't working for me. My poor old mum's meatloaf was the first thing that I squarely rejected. and that's it. I just decided that wasn't for me. And all these decades later, so clearly, without giving away my age, you know, I started quite young as a vegetarian. But yeah, there you go. So kudos right at the start of the show, I guess, Laura.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fellow vegetarian here, but I really struggled with it for quite a while because I have a really low iron levels in my blood. So it's been quite a process for me.
Women do. You've got to be careful about that. So if you're going to choose any different kind of lifestyle, I guess you've got to make sure you supplement or look after the overall picture.
Totally. So I guess we'll jump in. And Twyford, Bridges is wanting to have him sacked over Kiwi Build, and I'm wondering if you would agree.
Well, it's been an absolute failure, right?
Mm.
So it's extraordinary. I sat in the debating chamber in Parliament this week, and it just happened by the Prime Minister slipping out the word reset during her one question in the House. And then all of a sudden, the reset begins to become very concrete, and we're understanding, we're trying to get the facts out. Twyford's statement says that he's going to neither confirm or deny that the 100,000 target's been scrapped, but he's not confirming or denying. So why can't he just come out and say, look, no, it's there, it's solid, we're going to do this, but they can't. So of course you'd have to say, why would we want to keep a minister intact and in place when he's shown absolute inability to get this flagship policy put in place?
I think we can all agree that it was an incredibly ambitious target to be going for.
Absolutely.
Would it be a fair comment to say it's quite extreme to ask him to step down?
Well, not really, because that's the way it goes with accountability. Let's wait to see. I think I've heard on the grapevine that there's going to be a cabinet reshuffle post the budget.
Mm.
We'll see what happens. But ministers have to perform. They've got to pull off. This isn't just some small policy of a portfolio of a minister or something. This is a flagship policy. It was their number one thing that they heralded in the campaign and had commitments. It was a promise. So we knew that it was supposed to be 10,000 homes built every year heading towards that 100,000 target. 10,000 every year, we've got 80. And it's been halfway through their term. 18 months, 80. That's so far off that genuinely you've got to ask about competency.
I guess I have a very particular relationship with failure, and I know this is probably a very distant thing for something that affects hundreds of lives around New Zealand, thousands of lives. But we need to fail in order to figure out what's not going to work and then try again. Do you agree with that?
Well, in certain aspects of life, absolutely, Laura. I can list many ways in which I've failed in not being able to pull off stuff, but this is monumentally missing the gap. I mean, even that's understating. Again, 80 homes instead of 10,000.
Mm.
So if it was, we were talking, it was like, Twyford was supposed to build 10,000, but he only got 8,000 this year. Well, it's not 8,000, it's not even 800, it's 80. So this really does deserve some scrutiny, and I know we some of us would just go, look, they're just trying their best. Well, this kind of massive gap, I feel comfortable with saying it's been ineffective and it's been a failure. I feel very comfortable saying that.
Mm. Shifting on to the zero carbon bill. So what are your thoughts on this bill that's come out or developed?
So the stance by our party is that we're really welcoming a collaborative approach, mm-hmm. and it is positive that we've established this independent climate change commission, and that's great. We've agreed on what it's going to do, its form and function, and we've agreed on the net zero target for long-lived gases, so that's fantastic. You know, that's nitrous oxide, great, we've agreed on that, and we've agreed to separately treat methane and that particular short-term gas. So that's the first opening line. We've got some bipartisan collaborative work, and that's a long step forward from where we've been before in New Zealand, and it's the right thing to do, Laura. But where we've got serious reservations is the expected rate for reducing methane, and of course that stems from our support for our primary sector or our farming community, who are the backbone for our economy.
Mm. There was an interview conducted recently with Bruce Jones. We'll be playing it later on the show. But something he said is that he's expecting New Zealand to shift away from these primary agriculture sectors like dairy and meat, and placing more of a focus on plant-based ways of eating and encouraging that. Do you think that's something we should be supporting or shifting towards?
Well, that's not research that I'm across. And I would struggle to see how, even if that was a scenario, how we'd be transitioning anytime soon. So we've got decades and decades ahead of us to figure out how to support our primary industry and to do right by, well, quite frankly, our economy. But that kind of discussion, though, Laura, that's perfect for the Climate Change Commission, the new Climate Change Commission, to cover. They're independent. They should be looking at the science, looking at where the country's going, informing the government independently again. And so even when it comes to these methane targets, how come we're not using the new commission to come up with methane targets instead of politicians cherry-picking this methane percentage reduction by 2050? That's a good example of something, or both these things, that the new commission could do.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people are kind of frustrated with the way the bill is looking now, because it doesn't really seem to... it just gives a target. It doesn't really seem to act as a guide as to how you actually reduce those targets. What do you think about that lack of guidance?
Well, sometimes things happen step by step, right? So I think it's being met with real support for the fact that we have got a collaborative approach. In terms of practical steps from here, that's, again, what the Climate Change Commission can work on. If they're independent, if they're accepted by all parties in Parliament, then they can take some of the short-term politics out of it and look at the long-term approach. And it's an enduring commission. It's a commission that we have put a lot of time and effort to making sure that it'll be a science-based approach. And so when it comes to the practical steps, let's let them lead the way.
Mm. Now I'm going to shift on to something that you spoke about in Parliament recently, which is schools in your electorate that are facing funding cuts. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Yeah, so it sounds like a local issue, right? And it is. Oranga and Te Papapa Primary. So for anyone who doesn't know Auckland, they are in the suburbs, sort of squished between Onehunga and One Tree Hill, if I can put it that way, near Ellerslie. But the issue is actually wider than that. There's huge building development coming. So Housing New Zealand's going to be building 1,000 new homes over the next few years in the area. And what you've got is a really struggling Ministry of Education to keep up with what this growth looks like. It's happening all across Auckland, and I can't get Ministry of Education to stop being inflexible and non-communicative about their support for these schools. The issue is that if you're going to have that kind of growth and so many new people coming into the area, all the schools want is to be assured that they're not going to have their funding cut while people are moved temporarily out of the area while their new homes are being built. So you know what happens when you get a decrease in population, they decrease the school's funding, they cut teachers and so on. Well, you can't do that while people are temporarily away because their new homes are being built. We've got to make sure that the funding stays consistent, the staffing stays consistent, and the issue is that MOE, Ministry of Education, aren't upping their game. I'm really struggling, me and the schools, to get any coherency out of MOE, and that's not good enough.
So you're saying this funding methodology is kind of flawed?
Yeah, and so is their population growth projections. How are they keeping up with Auckland growth? Look, I'm just one example. I can name any Auckland MP, in fact, even Labor MPs, I'm sure. They'll be experiencing the same thing. The property division of MOE needs a very big shake-up. There's no two ways about that.
So you're saying that MOE needs a shake-up. What are some better ways you think we should be looking at gauging funding for these different schools?
Well, if you have a Housing New Zealand development, and this is pretty simple, if you've got a Housing New Zealand development, Housing New Zealand's a division of the government, one government department should talk to the other. Housing New Zealand should be really communicative with MOE. They should be working really in line together and give assurance to schools. Hey, don't worry, we've been talking, we know you're going to have a short-term population decrease, but we'll keep your funding fine, we'll keep your teachers there, because we know it's hard to recruit teachers, we'll keep them there, you've got the assurance, it's business as usual for you and your community. That's all that's needed, but I can't get that. And we've got people who really, this is about kids' lives, they don't, it's hard enough that some of them are facing temporarily moving out of their homes, let alone losing their favourite teacher or wondering whether that particular program in a school can carry on because they've had a funding cut. This is ABC, but goodness knows why I can't get coherency.
I guess I'm also curious in terms of just on the individual level what we can do to try and help support communities to get that funding.
Well, if you want to join me, just write to MOE and talk about Ōranga and Te Papapa schools and ask them to give the assurance that their funding and their teacher supply or their teaching numbers won't be cut. It's as simple as that. I've had meetings, requested meetings. I've tried to put Housing New Zealand and MOE together, and we still have the local newspapers onto this, and we still can't get that kind of assurance that we need. So I'd welcome
the support
by anyone.
Brilliant. Oh, and so you're doing such a great job over in your electorate.
I try, Laura, because I deeply care. I mean, I know lots of these families. I'm really good friends with the school board chair of, for instance, Ōranga. She's a fantastic lady that just, her heart bleeds for her people and her families, and it's the least I can do because it's about doing what's right.
Well, I even got a phone call, I think it was the week before last, where someone had said they had voted for Chloe in your electorate, but you were doing a fantastic job and they were really impressed. So a little bit of
cute
feedback.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, best Friday feedback I've ever had.
That's good. And I'm just going to end off on my final question that I love to do. Mother's Day this weekend, for all those listening who might have forgotten, get your mom some flowers. How are you hoping to spend the day?
Well, definitely, I'm a mum to two teenage daughters, but I'm just going to talk about my mum. because I went to a Mother's Day breakfast at One Tree Hill College this morning, and she came with me. And in one sentence, and this is kind of my version of a shout out if I can, Laura, my gorgeous mum, Laura, I love her so much. I don't care what we do on Sunday, as long as I see her, I'll be good. She's got cancer, time's short. I adore her, and she's always been my emotionally safe support. And hi, mum. Mum is probably listening to this. I hope she's listening to this. Hi, mum. Love you. Love you.
Hi, Denise's mom. Beautiful. Well, gorgeous, and I'm so looking forward to talking with you next week, Denise.
Great. Thanks so much, Laura. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.